go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We're going to talk with a man who has just literally been weathering one of the worst storms in American history. Fortunately, it apparently dodged him and his community on the east coast of Florida, but it is still playing out elsewhere in the state. He is Russ Dallin, one of our duty experts on Latin America, but first we'll take stock with him on what's been happening here in his native state. Russ, I gather you have fared reasonably well, thank God, and it's great to have you with us to give us a status report on what's been happening as a result of Hurricane Irma.
Thank you, Secretary Gaffney. It's good to be here and good to be able to tell you and to give you a status report.
Well, give us just a quick flavor of what has been happening both in your immediate community and elsewhere in the state.
We dodged a bullet in the easiest sense of the term. At one point, we were talking about a hurricane with 185 mile an hour winds that literally flattened San Martin and Barbuda. The first islands that it hit. And for once, Cuba did us a favor and slowed it down as it touched the outer shore of that. And so that when it did finally come up this way, it was had 125 mile an hour winds, but it skirted up the western coast. It left most of Miami-Dade and Broward without power. The poor people in the Keys first saw it, the Florida Keys and Key West. They bore the brunt of the impact of its first land in America. And then between Naples, Fort Myers, and Tampa, they got the rest of it. And before it dissipates up into Georgia and Tennessee.
I understand that your own personal house was very narrowly missed by a falling tree. Thank God for that. And I guess for the relatively light treatment that your part of the state received, do we have any idea how long the power will be out? I gather there are several million that are affected at the moment. Yours seems to be back on, thank goodness.
Yes, we got power back on shortly before midnight. But we are not so close to the water. I mean, there, Brickell Avenue was literally flooded, the downtown Miami area where all of the high finance and businesses are located, literally had 6 feet of water. There's still a lot to be recovered there. There's a curfew in it for most of Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach. The Miami Beach is still not letting people in yet.
Let me ask you to switch gears with, again, congratulations for dodging that bullet, to talk about another topic that we frequently discuss with you, Russ Dallin, especially in light of your expertise as the publisher of the Latin American Herald Tribune, namely, what is going on at the moment in Venezuela. I gather that the regime there has now turned on one of its, the golden goose, I guess you'd call it, PDVSA, by arresting some of its top management. What's going on there, and what are the implications for that source of revenue for the regime and the economy of Venezuela, which has already been devastated by Hurricane Chavez and Maduro?
Well, it's all thanks to American law enforcement. As a matter of fact, the FBI arrested 2 years ago a fellow named Roberto Rincon and another associate. He's in Texas, Houston, Texas, and another associate named Abraham Shira, who both pled guilty now, and Shira is in here in Miami, for being involved in a billion-dollar kickback scheme with PDVSA.
Did you say billion-dollar kickback scheme?
Billion with a B, yes, sir. Billion with a B. They have pled guilty, as well as a number of other U.S. residents and Venezuelan residents in America who were involved in the kickback. And basically, it works like this. You want to buy an oil pump, and it costs $100 million. So we'll bill it at $200 million, and we'll split the extra $100 million between the two of us. And that's typically how those things go. That was unfortunately widespread, but it took American law enforcement to uncover it and start cracking down on it. But and the U.S. judge has refused thus far. that request. But because the former attorney general had turned against the regime and started prosecuting them for those crimes, including Odebrecht, which also had another $100 million in bribes that they've admitted to Venezuelan officials, including Diosdado Cabello and others, but they chased her out of town. She literally is an expatriate now. They tried to rake over the fire when she announced that there was that the government was committing a coup against democracy and in all of its actions that it was taking, including the Constituent National Assembly. And she had been a loyal Chavista, by the way.
Is she still a fugitive as a result of this persecution?
Yes, she is a fugitive. She and her husband, was an actual congressman as well, deputado, and they're both fugitives from Venezuela. But they, luckily, she fled with a pen drive full of documents and has been going around Latin America and the U.S. Providing those documents to all and sundry of their end of the implications of all of these high Venezuelan officials.
So she's actually in the United States or has been, as far as we know?
I think she's in Mexico. She's in Mexico right now. She's been offered asylum in Colombia, Brazil, and Peru, I believe, so far. But she hasn't, she and her husband haven't decided yet. They've been touring around, meeting with other prosecutor generals, sharing the evidence and trying to see what they can do to bring justice. But the new attorney general of Venezuela had to look like he was doing something. So they basically threw up some low-level people that didn't matter and could be sacrificed and blamed them. So although it makes great headlines, 8 PDVSA officials arrested, they were actually not the big cheese or the intellectual authors of the crime.
Very quickly, let me just ask you as well, Russ Dallin, there is a new constituent assembly in Venezuela, of course. The end of the democracy there as a practical matter has led to this. The statement that was made by the president of it, Delcy Rodriguez, caught my attention to the effect that there's no humanitarian crisis in Venezuela. From your reporting at the Latin American Herald Tribune and your other insights into what's happening there, Russ Dallin, is that remotely correct?
No, not at all. It's ludicrously incorrect. And it's amazing that she was the former foreign minister before she got appointed to this position of head of this illegal and illicit body, super body. It'd be like, by the way, just so you understand what that National Constituent Assembly is, it would be like if Trump couldn't get the Republicans and Democrats to do what he wanted, so he just appointed a whole new Congress above this Congress. The old Congress would still exist, but he made a new one with the superpower abilities to do everything,
including rewrite the Constitution and remove people from office. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. So but she is she's a lifelong communist. And, you know, the Venezuelans have long gone by this policy of better to deny the truth than open your mouth and prove it. And so even though malnutrition is incredibly rising, infant mortality is devastating the country, they behave like as if nothing is wrong.
Much is wrong, needless to say. Russ Dallin, we're delighted that you've made it through the storm. Thank you for taking a few minutes in the aftermath of it to recount how things are going there. And I hope that the cleanup and the restoration of power and life as we know it in Florida will be speedy and readily accomplished. Russ, thank you for your time today. We'll talk with you soon.
To securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.